We gather our belief systems. Our belief systems is who we really are. What we've embraced as our belief. Whether we got that from our parents, whether we got that from our grandparents, whether we got that from the people we worked with, whatever. We've embraced beliefs, or whether we got it, but we've been dealing with the faith that comes from hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Faith that comes from hearing God's Word. Faith that is produced, the God kind of faith. See, everybody has faith, but not everybody has the God kind of faith. So, faith, what is it? And that's, we went into great detail. I'm not going to re-preach that. I'm just setting the stage for this week's message. You got to go back and revisit just a little bit to get people caught up. So we're talking about the God kind of faith. Faith that is produced from this Bible, from the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Thank God, thank God. We've already heard a testimony how the woman released her faith. She heard. Faith comes by hearing. She heard the name of Jesus, and she released her faith, and her faith made her whole. And then faith works by love. And so you can have all kinds of faith and claim to be full of faith, but if you don't exercise love and walk in love, then your faith won't work. So it would behoove us to all become faith experts. Amen? Or love experts. So we can be full of faith and stay full of faith, and our faith will work. So that was what we preached on last week. Or week before last. Then last week we preached on the subject of foolishness. The Word of God has a lot to say about that. David, who was a man after God's own heart, there were some times when he got squirrely. How many of you knows what I mean when I say squirrely? He just missed, got off and missed the mark and got his eyes off of focus of God and looking to him. And here he was, even though he was a man after God's own heart and anointed of God, he just started acting foolishly. Started relying on his own understanding, you know. Instead of looking to God, instead of trusting God, he started just doing things his own way. He became stubborn and stiff-necked and even probably became lifted up in pride. And see, those things right there, when you do that, it will cause you to act foolishly. The Bible says that the rebellion or foolishness, excuse me, is bound up in the heart of a child. But the rod of correction drives it far from them. So foolishness, we were born in sin. We were born with that foolish nature. And it takes Jesus, and just because we do come to Jesus, if we take our eyes off him and our focus off him and start relying on our own self, lean not to our own understanding, all our ways acknowledge him, he'll direct our paths. If we think we have the answers and we don't need him, we can become stubborn, we can become stiff-necked, we can become obstinate, we can get in pride, and we're not listening to him, and we think we don't need him, we think we have all the answers, and then we can fool ourselves. The Bible says, he that answers a matter before he hears the end of it is acting foolishly. So there's lots of things regarding a fool. The definition for a fool is, or foolish. It comes from folly, the root word, which is acting foolishly. It's a lack of understanding, wisdom, or judgment. Then that's the reason we closed last week about praying the prayers in Ephesians, because we need God's wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom will keep us from acting foolishly. And it's not man's wisdom, it's God's wisdom. Wisdom that can only come from his word. Amen. See, knowledge puffs up. Thank God for knowledge. We need that and believe in higher education. But more than that, I believe in wisdom that can only come from God. Amen? See, knowledge will puff up. You get a hold of some knowledge, boy, you think you got something somebody else doesn't have, and it can puff you up, you know, and think you know it all, and you just don't know the difference between come here and sick them. But you don't know it because you're a fool, you see. That's what it'll do to you. But wisdom comes from God. I don't care. Somebody who didn't even know how to read, don't even know how to read. And then when they got born again, I've heard several testimonies that the only thing they could read and they learned to read was the Bible. And they became a wise man or a woman because now wisdom came. See, wisdom is the ability to apply the knowledge that you do have. It's actually practical application. I'd rather have somebody that's got wisdom than I have somebody that's got a lot of knowledge and don't have any understanding to go with that. All right. So that's what we talked about last week. The first 2 weeks ago, we said the title was, If It's Not Faith, Then What Is It? And that's what last week's title was. Well, if it's not faith, then what is it? Is it faith or not? And if it's not faith, then it can be one of these other two things, because there's only three things that it can be. Because you and I, all of us, are confronted with situations, with problems, with things that require an answer. It requires a choice, a decision to be made. Is that correct? Huh? Almost daily we have decisions that we have to make. Is that right? For sure, once a week, you can be sure that there's something that's going to require a major decision. We have to come to some kind of choice and a decision in life, because we all have to make them. Well, if the decision can either be based, if our belief system is rooted and grounded in God's word and we're looking to him and we're relying on God to lead and guide and direct us and looking to him for his wisdom, we're going to make a good decision. And we ain't going to be foolish. But if we think that we know it, and we're not looking to God and not acknowledging him, even going to him with the small things, then we can be foolish and it look to be like a fool. So if it's not faith, then it's either foolishness, or today, with today's message, it's presumption. Or we're titling this message today, Don't Assume. Of course, we know what the world says about assuming. It'll make you appear and come out like a jackass. So what does that mean? Presumption. Presumption is to suppose or take to be true or entitled to belief without examination. Aren't you glad we have men and women of God in our judiciary system today that are born again and spirit-filled, look to God for God direction, and because they have wisdom and they pray, God gives them wisdom, and they can thoroughly examine a situation, and then even when they don't know what to do, just like Solomon, when these two women were fighting over one baby. Both women had a baby, and one of them during the night rolled over on the other one, and the other one killed. The baby was suffocated and died, and the other woman wanted the other woman's baby, said, no, this is my baby. And they were fighting over this baby. And they brought this baby before Solomon to try to decide. He tried to examine the facts. Well, it was she said and she said. Both women were saying the same thing. It took wisdom to discern. See, Solomon was examining it. He wasn't just assuming. But then it took wisdom to discover the truth. So he said, bring me a sword. So they brought him a sword. Here he was. Well, both of you women claim that this baby's yours. I'll just split it in half. One of you get half, another one get the other half. Well, the real mother said no, because it was her child. She wanted what was best for it. Let the other lady have it. She would rather her baby live than to be killed. Well, instantly, Solomon knew who the real mother was. Praise God. Hallelujah. To assume something is right, but it's not. Presumption is blind or headstrong unreasonableness or arrogant. When you become arrogant or headstrong, you're unreasonable, you're blind, that's presumption and assumption. And it's definitely not faith. So let's look to the scripture and see what it has to say. Proverbs 14:12 says this. We even used this scripture last week in regarding foolishness. And you can also use it in regarding to presumption. Proverbs 14:12 says this. There is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. See, we think we might have the answer and know the answer. But if it's not rooted and grounded in God's word, we're fooling ourselves and then we'll be in presumption. Because man, well, it's just sort of like the scripture says, to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. See, if you violate that right there, and you just assume that you get by because you do that and nothing ever happens to you. Well, there's no consequences. You presume. I heard Jimmy Swaggart say several years ago when he got caught up in the first indiscretion in 1988 actually. It didn't reach him at first because he was in presumption. Yes, he believed the word and he spoke the word, but then he got lifted up in pride and didn't guard himself and protect himself. Started having relationships with other women other than his wife. Well, when it first happened, he was bringing in more money than he ever had before. The money didn't drop. He had more people coming to his meetings than he had ever had before. Are you listening to me? So he got into presumption big time. He assumed, well, it must not be that big a deal. God, look, there's more people still coming to my meetings. I'm having more money than it's ever come into my ministry. So he assumed that everything was all right. But how many knows payday's coming? You always reap what you sow. It may look like you get by. See, that's where this scripture says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. You think, well, if I just cut this corner and just do this and do that, you know, it'll be all right. Who will know about it? Well, first of all, God will. Amen. And then if you keep doing it long enough, even when your own conscience convictions and deals with you, and you just keep violating that, then you'll become hardened and you won't even know the difference. You're assuming that everything's all right. That God has just swept it under the rug. You've gotten by. Proverbs 18:13 says this. But the end of that way will end in death. Proverbs 18:13 says this. Here again, I used this scripture last week for a fool. And it does say about that. He that answers a matter before he heareth it or gets all the facts, it is a folly and a shame unto him. Now, I know there ain't nobody in here ever does that. No husband ever does it to their wife, and no wife ever does it to their husband. You think you know what the other one's going to say, and so you interrupt their space and try to, you know, finish the rest of their sentence. And boy, did you shoot yourself in the foot. Because it's folly, and it's also presumption to think you assume that you know. Because, men, I'll tell you something right now. The time you think you've got your wife or any woman figured out, you're in for a big surprise. Well, you know that you don't have to make it to be a bad thing. I'm not saying it is a bad thing, women. It's really a good thing. God designed it that way because it keeps it interesting. Glory to God. It keeps it exciting. Yeah. Men are pursuers and women are responders. Right, babe? All right. Hallelujah. All right, let's get back to what we're talking about. Anyway, well, it is. It's assumption, presumption. All right, now we saw some new, Old Testament scriptures. Let's look in some New Testament. James 4:17 says this. Therefore, well, I quoted it a while ago, but you need to know the address. Therefore, to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. See, when you know to do what's right and do good and you don't do it, you presume, well, everything's all right and you've gotten by. But the Bible makes it real clear, a man or a woman reaps what we sow. You sow bad seed, you're going to reap bad seed. You may not reap it all real soon, but you will reap it. That's a law that God put in place in the very beginning. The law of seed time and harvest. And that law has never changed and it will never change. Hebrews 3, beginning at verse 1. You know, that was James 4:17. Now, Hebrews 3, beginning at verse 1 and 2, says this. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle, or the one God sent, and high priest of our profession, or of our confession. See, Jesus watches over our confession. He listens to what we're saying, because the power of life and death is in the power of the tongue, for it to come to pass or not. So Jesus, the high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in his house. Now then, I want us to go to verse 6. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if, everybody say if. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. See, every promise of God has a condition. Verse 7, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation when they provoked him in Israel in coming out of Egypt. In the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years, Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. See, man, they saw the power of God. They saw God demonstrate many mighty works. Saw it with their own eyes. But how soon they forgot. So I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren. Now we're to learn from that. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. See, they believed, they were once believers. But then because they just took it for granted and assumed, well, God, you know, we can just do whatever we want to do and it's going to be okay. You're going to look the other way. Boy, that's what's going on today, big time. It doesn't matter. God's grace is greater and it covers all it does. Grace is greater than sin. But it's if you continue in sin and don't repent from that sin, we'll read that in just a moment. I'm getting ahead of myself. Take heed that there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. The Bible called that an evil heart. You who your heart was cleansed and washed and purged by the blood of Jesus has now turned because you've assumed that and you didn't think you needed to repent. You just repented one time and that was it. And you just can keep continuing what you're doing to him that knows to do good and does it not. To him it is sin. And if you don't repent of that sin, if you continuously continue in that sin, then you're assuming and your heart will become hardened and it'll become an evil heart of unbelief. In departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily what is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. When you get caught up in sin, sin will deceive you. It'll take you further than you ever intended to go, and it'll cost you more than you ever intended to pay. For we are made partakers of Christ if, everybody say if, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. He that endures to the end shall be saved. Don't that sound like the same kind of language, same kind of word? Another writer wrote the same thing, inspired by the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that the mouth of two or more witnesses shall let everything be established. See, you can assume if you just read it one time and you think you know the answer to it and because your mind is telling you because you want to believe that, and then you're assuming that it's true. See, assumption is assuming that something's true when it's not because you haven't examined it. Amen. Examine the scriptures to see whether they're so or not. See, I don't want you to be like a little baby bird in this place. I appreciate your trust and your confidence in Pastor Gary. But Pastor Gary's human. Pastor Gary can miss it. I have missed it. And will miss it in the future. But when I do miss it because I want to do right and keep my heart right with God and he speaks to me, man, I repent of it and get it right away. And if I've said something that I shouldn't have said that was wrong in front of the whole congregation, I don't want to be lifted up in pride because God says he resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. I'll acknowledge it and admit it before the whole congregation. So we got to hold fast to our faith that's rooted and grounded in God's word. So we'll be in faith and not in foolishness or in presumption. Amen? All right, here's another scripture. It goes right along with this. Hebrews 6, 4 through 6. As I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he spoke in a certain place on the seventh day. I'm in the wrong place. I'm in Hebrews chapter 4. No wonder I'm in the wrong place. I'm in the wrong place. Thank you, sweetheart. Vonda, you're in the right place. Hebrews 6, chapter 4, chapter 6, beginning at verse 4. Yeah, that's right. All right. For it is impossible. Say, it is impossible. Now, with God, all things are possible. But now here you see God saying, it is impossible. Oh, my. All things are possible through God, through His Word, believing Him, trusting in Him. But it is impossible for those who have been once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, experienced the goodness of God, that God loves them and God has washed them from their sins. We're made partakers of the Holy Ghost, became sharers, they partook of the goodness of God and His Word, and have tasted the goodness of the Word and the powers of the world to come. In other words, they were born again. You're born again by the Word. You hear the Word. The Word, when you believe that Word, you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, now you're saved. So you've tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away. See, that doctrine of once saved, always saved, is a doctrine of presumption. Now, I know a lot of good people believe that. Well, you want to believe that because you think you can just, you know, I quoted the words and said of repeating after somebody. And that's the reason why I thank God for John Smithwick and the ministry he's doing around the world. When they go to a country after they've prayed about it and believe the Lord has led them, they've already went and done the legwork and got somebody in place when they go in where the name of Jesus has never been preached before. They already have somebody in place, a pastor, to pastor these people so they will not become a casualty. They'll not fall away. Ain't that right, Miss Pat? See, that's what it's designed to do. Everybody needs a pastor. Because if you just go there, you're doing a disservice to those people. You go there and you just preach to them and they have Jesus, invite Jesus in their heart, but they don't grow up and don't get teaching and don't be held accountable and don't come connected and learn to grow and mature, they'll go right back into doing the same thing. Remember that scripture I used last week about foolishness is a dog that returns to his own vomit? And then thinking everything's okay? My. Because Jesus said himself, you can even die in unforgiveness. That's the reason it's so crucial when somebody's at the end of their life that you make sure. Do you have any unforgiveness in your heart? If they got it, then right now's the time. You're playing Russian roulette. You need to get this straight right now. Get rid of this unforgiveness. Whoever you're holding out against, you need to let it go. Because Jesus said, if you don't forgive, neither will you be forgiven. Right? That's what Jesus said now. Goes right hand in hand with this right here. So if that person who has accepted the Lord, and it's impossible if they fall away to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. See, Jesus already died once and for all. He's not going to go back on that cross again. He paid, see, sin is not the problem. He paid for the sins. All sins of all mankind, that whosoever will believe. And then once you believe, then you continue in that belief. You see, you can because you don't see things happen the way you want to or as fast as you think they should do, you can get disillusioned and get mad and get angry at God and just even turn your back. Well, they ain't no God. God, if you love me, you wouldn't have let this happen. Or why did you not do this for me? See, that's why I really the Lord led me to share these three messages with us to bring it all together, faith, foolishness, or presumption. Because when you first grab a hold of the Word of God, you read in there that these signs shall follow them that lay hands, that these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And all kinds of things that the Bible has to say about these kinds of things. Then you begin wondering inside, well, what will happen, Lord? I know this happened, I'm sure it happened to you, Miss Pat, over there. It happened to me. Even happens, it don't have to be on the mission field, it can be anywhere. Well, Lord, what will people think of me if they're in a wheelchair and I go and pray for them and lay my hands on them and they don't get up out of that wheelchair? Or you grab a hold of the Word of God about prosperity. God is, He became poor that we might be made rich, and God wants us blessed, and we know that is God's Word. Poverty is a curse. Blessings are from heaven. And we are blessed, and then we start declaring that and speaking that, and then, well, what if I go bankrupt? What if I lose everything? What's people going to think about me? And now, am I being real? Huh? See, these kinds of things are designed by the enemy to shipwreck our faith. That's the reason why I preached on faith to begin with, because we need to know what we mean. When I say faith, it's what the Bible calls faith, the faith that's grounded in the Bible, not what someone else says. Amen. You've got to know that you know for yourself. Just like I started to say a while ago, I don't want you to be like little baby birds where you just hold your mouth open and the mama bird just drops it right in. Your pastor would never knowingly ever tell you anything that I didn't believe that was rooted and grounded in God's Word. I don't get up here and give you an exhortation on my opinions. Everybody's got one. Okay? But when I preach using the Word of God, the Scriptures, because as long as I'm standing on the Word of God, I'm on firm foundation. Amen. Amen. And then if you get mad at me then, well, you know, I can't help it. Then don't matter what you think or whatever, because I know God's Word is true. Let God be true and every man a liar. So regardless of what happens, how it feels or whatever. So see, I've shared with you stories about when I first got in here and I didn't have a lot of wisdom to go along with knowledge. And I had this little calf that was, the mother was so weak she couldn't even have the calf. And I didn't know she was pregnant. And that was what was wrong with her. She suddenly got down and laid down and wouldn't eat or nothing. And then she was starting to have birth pains. I could start seeing, you know, even me, duh, she's pregnant. She's fixing to have a calf. Well, I didn't have time. I just went in there. No one ever showed me how to deliver a baby. Baby calf or anything. Same principle. Wouldn't have mattered if it had been a real human baby. It'd been the same thing. So I went in there and delivered that thing and wiped it off with some toe sacks. That's all I had, you know. and got it up on his feet and it was breathing. And now I had to take care of this little baby because the mama didn't have enough milk or anything to feed the baby. So I went and got some formula, you know, and got me a bottle and put a nipple on the end of it, you know, and fed the baby and put molasses in it, you know, and give it everything I knew to do. Well, I'd gotten a hold of the Word of God, just been baptized with the Holy Ghost not too long prior to this. So now, boy, this was a test. I was declaring and speaking all I knew to do. Now we're going to find out whether these are just words that I was reading in here or if I really believed it. Well, I thought I believed it. As far as I knew, I'd believe. But I'd never ever been confronted with this. This was life or death. So after 3 days, a calf got down on me, and I determined to go and do everything I knew to do. Of course, I was speaking the word. All of that I knew, I was still speaking. And so faith without works is dead. So I got the little calf in my pickup truck and took it to the vet. Carried it in my arms and laid it on the table. And the vet said, "It's mama." I told him the story. Said he didn't get none of his mama's first milk that had all the antibodies in it, you know. That's so necessary, that's important for new life. And he said, "This calf's going to die." And I said, "I don't believe it is. I'm still believing. I want you to do whatever it takes." So he put an IV in it, you know, and tried putting fluids in it. And he did everything he could while it was still there on the table and me holding on to it. Anyway, the calf did die. Why am I sharing all this with you? Here's the reason for this. That could have shipwrecked my faith. If I had turned, it would have been a real good opportunity to have just pointed my finger at God, not in a good way, accusing way. "God, you're a liar. Your word doesn't work." But I didn't. I had enough sense to know, because I had been in his word, and it had to be godly wisdom because I didn't have that wisdom, that if there was a problem and it didn't work, I just didn't understand it. The problem wasn't with God. You follow what I'm saying? So that propelled me to get in his word. Glory to God. I'm going to find out more. Instead of pulling me away from God and his word, I dove in with everything within me. So this is not going to happen again. If it ever comes upon this again, that individual or that calf or that cat or that dog or whatever, going to see a different outcome. Because my faith ain't where it used to be. But see, you can assume and presume, think you know some things. Think you know you're doing all you know to do. Well, just keep doing what you know to do. We don't know it all because we miss it. But don't get mad at God and blame God when it don't work. Because if I had, I wouldn't have been here today. You follow me? So assumption. Don't fall away. Don't back away. Keep embracing. Go to him. Don't run from him. He loves us. His word is true. Just because it don't happen when and as quick as we think so, keep believing and keep speaking. There's just something we don't know. The hardest funeral I ever had to do was our adopted son. Some of you know this, and I just feel led to share it again. Shane and his wife, Portia. Already had one child, and now she got pregnant again and having another child and carried that baby up to term, you know. And when it was time for it to be born, it was born dead. Well, they were needing some answers. I needed some answers. How are you going to preach a funeral like that? Well, when I went to God, God showed me. God sees God's answers. And it's scripture in Deuteronomy that says, that the things that are revealed belong to us, but the secret things belong to the Lord. There's some things that you and I, until we get to heaven, are not going to know. God don't reveal everything to us. He's Almighty God. We have to trust Him. We have to trust Him that God's a good God. God didn't take this baby's life. God didn't do this. There's some other reason. And when we get to heaven, because we still trust in Him, look at Him, then God will reveal to us and show us. And thank God, see, that settled me, and it settled them. They grabbed a hold of that. And how do I know that it healed them and they got healed after a period of time? Because she got pregnant again. They tried again a few years later, and they had a wonderful, beautiful little baby girl. Hallelujah. But if they had gotten mad and their faith had become shipwrecked and see, we don't understand everything. We never will. But you better understand that God's a good God. God is for us. God cannot do bad. He cannot do evil. And we just may not know this side of heaven everything, why things happen the way they do. A lot of it has to do with choices and things we made. That's the reason why I preach about choices and decisions. But every decision we make needs to be based on rooted and grounded in God's word, faith. And not in foolishness, not in presumption that we think we know what's right and it's not right. Because there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. Lack of wisdom or understanding or judgment, or like foolishness, is believing a half lie or half truths. That's how all the major cults in the world operate. They have half truths, partial truths. And they're really able to prey on people that don't get in the word for themselves and find out what is the truth. God's word is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you really want to know the truth, see, that's what propelled me, because I'm a man after truth. I hate a lie. I want the truth. Don't you hate a lie, Judge? When they lie, they know about it, and they find out about it, man, they ain't going to go good on that person, are they? Praise the Lord for truth. Hallelujah. Thank God. And when you're standing on truth, God's word, you're not standing alone. God is with you, He's for you, and He's on your side. And you're going to come out victorious regardless of what the devil may do. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Anybody getting anything good out of this? All right, I'm going to read this last scripture. Two more scriptures, excuse me. Titus 2, 11 through 15 says this. Here again. You know, the Bible says, let everything be established at the mouth of two or more witnesses. Titus chapter 2, 11 through 15 says this. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. See, God has given His grace and poured out His grace to everybody. But that grace is not a license that we can go and do whatever we want to do. It's not a license to sin. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, because God's not willing that anybody perish, but all men come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. Teaching us, now here's what the true meaning of grace is. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, self-controlled, righteously or upright, and godly, devoted to God, honoring Him, care more about what God thinks than what anyone else thinks in this present world. Looking for that blessed appearing, blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So that's what the true grace of God is. that we keep our hearts right. When we miss it, we just repent. Glory to God, He's faithful just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, how not to be in presumption, and this is the last scripture, and we're closing. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. Remember, presumption is blind or headstrong, unreasonableness, arrogance, assuming that something is right without examining it, supposing it's true without finding out. So Proverbs 3, 5 through 8 says this. Anybody get anything out of this today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Boy, I sure have. It's been good. I need to be reminded of these things. Because I want to always make sure I'm in faith. Faith in God and His Word. Because I have been foolish and I have acted foolishly. And I've been in presumption. I've assumed that I knew the answer. I've assumed that I had all the facts. I've assumed that I knew, but I didn't know. So Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, how to make sure we don't get caught up and get into presumption. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. With everything that's within us. See, that's faith. Faith, God, I'm trusting in You, in Your Word, that I am what You say I am, I have what You say I have, and I can do what You say I can do. I'm trusting in Your Word, God, regardless of circumstances, regardless of situations, regardless of what it looks like, because faith is now. I'm trusting in You, Lord, with all my heart. No reservations whatsoever, no matter what, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it may appear like, no matter what other people are saying to me. I'm trusted in You, Lord, and I'm leaning not, I'm relying not on my own understanding. There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. In all my ways, in all my endeavors, in all the choices and decisions I have to make, Lord, I'm acknowledging You. Lord, I acknowledge that You are the Almighty God, the all-wise God. You have every answer. Lord, I need You. Boy, it blessed me when I heard a gentleman in our church yesterday just in the simple things. We're just doing a little simple thing together. He was just, Father God, I need Your help. I need Your wisdom. Boy, that just blessed me. Glory to God. Shoo! That's the way we need to be. We're acknowledging Him, Lord. We're not sure. We need Your help. I need Your help, Lord. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So if we put into practice this proverb right here, then it'll assure us that we'll never, ever be in presumption. Now, Brother Charlie said he had to leave early, so don't worry about it. But we don't want to ever be a fool. We don't want to be in presumption. We want to stay in faith. Amen? Yes, Miss Pat. Yes, let me have the microphone, please, sweetheart.
So we had a children's crusade. Oh, we had thousands. I mean, I'm talking 10, 12,000 children. And I got to be down at their level, not up on the stage. And there was a little boy, and he had a red NC State shirt on. And so when John Smithwick prayed the prayer of healing, he said, as I shared earlier, put your hand where the problem is. And I watched this little boy. Well, it's salvation prayer. So I'm first the salvation prayer. He had his eyes closed tight, and you could see he was just pressing in and praying that prayer with all his might. And, I mean, there was crowds all around, and he wasn't bothered about anybody near him because people were pushing and shoving, and some were laughing and not paying attention, you know, and all kinds of things going on with that many people. But I watched this little boy, and he was believing, and he was receiving. And then when we did the prayer of salvation, he had his hand up like this. I thought maybe there was a problem in his chest. And I watched him pray, and John had said, put one hand where the problem is and raise the other one to heaven. So he did that, and I was so curious, and then they always give the opportunity, well, raise your hand if there's something different. They invite you to come up, and I'm like, Lord, I want to know. I want to know what there was this little boy believing for. And there was another little 10-year-old. So he came on out and ended up on the stage. They interviewed him. Well, he had a cyst underneath, a growth underneath his armpit, and when they prayed, it was all gone. And he had that little short sleeve shirt on. He rolled it up, and he's showing, you know, it's all gone. So they said, well, your mom or your dad here, anybody, you know, any family here with you? No, nobody was there with him. But on his own, this little boy, regardless of the people laughing, pushing, shoving around him, was determined he was going to receive from the Lord, and he did. Glory.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Just like the lady with the issue of blood. She just pressed through the crowd. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If I can just touch the hem of his garment. Just like blind Bartimaeus. Clumb up and, you know, he was waiting and everything. And he heard that Jesus was coming. And they said, now you need to be quiet. Be quiet. Don't bother him. Jesus is coming this way. He started crying out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And when people around him heard it, and they said, you need to hush. You need to be quiet. Stop it. You're making a spectacle for yourself. It didn't matter. Man, when they tried to get him to be quiet, he just started crying out the more. Jesus, thou son of Nazareth, son of David, have mercy on me. He said it again, and he got louder. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Well, it got Jesus' attention. Jesus stopped. Come here. See, his faith, he already believed. And it's his faith that made him whole. Because when he got to Jesus, he said, Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do that I might receive my sight? Your faith has made you whole. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Well, if you're here today and you can't believe in God for anything, we want to pray for you. Hallelujah.